I preached a sermon a year or two ago on the getting real. Well, once again, when I was studying, I wanted us, I've told you all, I'm going to take a lot of those sermons over the past. I want to break them down for us, and I want to do a study with them where that you will have, again, the background. Now, getting real is one of the hardest, and I mean dealing with reality. Getting real. Let's get real about it. Everything is not going to be happy and joy all the time, right? Let's get real about what is going on in the world around us. Let's get real about our own life and get real about the effects of every situation around our life and what that effect is on us and on our family. Have you noticed that a lot of the problems that we will see in families are caused from outside sources? Caused from problems outside. And then the problems outside, many times families bring to the inside. And because you've been turned outside, inside, turned around, then we see that these problems that are arising, but nobody wants to deal with them because we're afraid to get real. We're afraid to get it real. To get real deals with the whole truth of God. To get real means that you and I have to get real about our sinful state, about us. We really can make mistakes, and sometimes we choose to make them. So when we get real in our daily living, then we can get real in our relationship with Christ. We can come to the Lord and we can say, Lord, I know that I belong to you, but I'm really hurting. I'm really broken on the inside. This is going on and that is going on. But you see, if we won't deal with it, the reality in the physical or in our relationships, then we will not deal with what's real in our spiritual relationship with God. Therefore, Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this. You want to bring glory to God? My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, when I preached on this subject, I remember so many people thinking about us making certain that the fruit that comes from us is the good fruit and all. I cannot produce fruit, neither can you. And as we study tonight, as I lead into this, I want us to see what our Father in heaven sees when we allow Christ's production to be a part of our life. God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. At no point, folks, do we think, or should we ever think, that we are in charge of our destiny. Now, can we change our destiny? We can change our heart in the direction for Christ, and that in itself can change a destiny. But have you ever thought about your life and thinking about how it would, where you would be today if you had done this, that, or the other differently? But you didn't, and I didn't. So here we are. So let's get real with where we are. You get people caught up into what if, and the what if cannot be a part of our life. To get real, I need to understand, I am not the God of my life. I am not the vine. I am a branch that I can only bear the fruit of what's in the vine. But think of the blessing if we would just appreciate how God, the creator of all, is allowing us to be a part, period, of the vineyard, much less to be a branch from the vine. Okay, a branch finds its significance in bearing fruit from the vine. What makes life authentic and real is the fruit that life bears. Let me do that again. What makes life authentic and real is the fruit that life bears. All right. Authentic and real. Have you ever had people around you that you just know, and they open their mouth and you say they're phony? I mean, you can spot them. They're phony. I don't get you. They might talk sweetness, but their whole tongue is as wicked as I've ever seen. Do you ever wonder why we stand there and listen to them when we know they're lying to us? Well, anyway, the authentic part of dealing with the real fruit. Your life will be most significant and most fruitful and most productive when, number one, you relate to Christ inwardly. Yeah, I believe there's a God. Yeah, I've heard something about his son even. I believe there's a God. Yeah, I love reading those stories about that man named Jesus. You know, but the more I think about it, he must have really lived. Well, that's not an inward relationship, is it? That's a fantasy, or that's something that's going through the individual's mind. It is a step away from who Christ really is. Now, John 15:1 reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's Jesus speaking. John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, I wanted to give you a definition. That's why I want to print it out for you. Abide means to remain stable or fixed. How many people do you see that today they're praising Jesus and I mean, all excited and glory, hallelujah, and tomorrow they're in the world and doing everything just the opposite of what they say? Well, that happens a lot of times on a weekly basis. Some people go to church on Sunday, they pray, they sing, they shout, and then they go home on Monday and leave our Savior out. Be a good song, Larry, look it up. The focus of a shallow relationship with Christ. There can be no fruit from the Father or from Jesus with a shallow relationship. If I am a branch and I'm not connected, but you know, I'm pretty close. You know, I could reach my finger out and touch that vine, but that vine is not connected. I'm going to wither and I'm going to fall away. I am going to be one as one who plays and pretends to be a Christian. And it's not just every Christian or every person that sits in the pews, folks. I'm talking about many that are in the pulpit. And the sad thing is, as all heaven looks on, when we watch or hear these foreign doctrines that are being brought into the church, and knowing that heaven is watching, and you or I sit back and say nothing. We don't have that right. You know why? We're a branch connected. And from us, you will see the fruit of the very one we're connected to. Now, either we're connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, or we're connected to the wrong vine. You know, some grapes are sour. Some are not fit to eat. And the ones that are not fit to eat and sour, they call prunes. I don't know. The ugliest fruit that ever existed is a prune. Yeah. I wonder if there's a background there somewhere where prude comes from prune or something. John 15:5. I don't have any idea where that came from, but I thought I'd throw it out there. I am the vine. You are the branches. Okay. Here's what he's saying. You are. He's telling his disciples, he's telling the believers, you are the branches. You see, that's a compliment. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, he who abides in me, what is that? Remains stable and fixed. He who remains stable or fixed in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing, much less bear fruit. You can't do anything that's going to glorify God. A Christian is someone who is joined to Christ just as a branch is joined to the vine. You can have an outward attachment to the church by being baptized, by being a member, or by attending. But that will never make you a branch that bears fruit, right? And that, in and of itself, without Jesus Christ, will never give you significance. Each one of us strive within our heart to get real. To get real deals with having our life be significant to someone. Having our life, live a life that's going to make a difference to someone. You know, as I would look at it and over the personalities I've dealt with over the years, how many times I've seen the young kids and those that were even older and listening to them and knowing their families and realizing there was never a positive, significant personality in their life. There was never a positive, significant personality in their life. There were a lot of personalities in their life, but it was a negative significance. But do you know they stand without excuse before God? Because let me tell you how great our God is. I will never be allowed to stand in the presence of God and either point my finger at God or anyone else as far as the reason for all the mistakes and bad things I've done in life. That's not allowed in the presence of God because I have the freedom on the inside. You make me a slave. You still cannot read my mind. You still cannot hear my heart. You still do not hear the heartbeat of Christ that will be within me. And therefore, I will stand without excuse because God says, in that day, they will stand before me without excuse. And then he says, why? Because I will have revealed myself to them. God said, I've revealed myself to them. They just refuse to get connected. They want to, you want those quick connects and disconnects? You know, I'm going to hook up with church today and I'll pop that disconnect button tomorrow. Well, that's impossible with Christ. He says it is. He says, the good work and what I've started in you, he says, I'll complete. Well, you see, he would not complete it if I'm separated from him. And yet he says, I will do the completion of who you are. Now, therefore, without me being able to say, well, it's somebody else's fault, then it sounds like I got to get real and realize that I will make the choices, and the choices I make, I will live with. Or, let me add this caveat, or I will be connected to the Christ, to the vine, to the point that, yes, I made all these mistakes. Yes, I see all the things that are going wrong around me. But because that Christ is in me, because I am connected to Christ, then he will even make the consequences of my sin lighter. We all say, well, now look, we're going to suffer the consequences. Well, to a degree we will, but to a greater degree we won't. The full consequence of sin, you can never be able to to suffer the consequences of, because Jesus died for. You see, when I said yes to Jesus, the hardest thing for us to understand, past, present, and future sins. Then we say that's cheap security. That's cheap religion. And let me get Kentucky on us. Ain't nothing cheap that comes from Jesus. Jesus paid the price. So therefore, why would I need to go look for another religion? I don't even like religion, period. But I love the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. So let us abide, be stable and fixed in Christ. Your life will be most significant and most fruitful and most productive when, number two, you produce Christ outwardly. The branch that bears fruit will remain or last. The branch that bears fruit will remain or it will last, meaning abide, to remain stable and fixed. Okay, Jesus says, I'm stable, Larry, and I'm fixed looking at your heart. I know who you are. And that's what he says to each of us as his children. I'm stable. Now, you might get a little shaky, Larry, but because you're attached, a branch attached to the vine, I will never be unstable, and I will never be unfixed. I am always going to be solid for you. Therefore, you and I live out here with the branches, all right? The wind's going to hit us. Life hits us. We get all of this stuff, yet we are connected there to that vine, and the vine remains stable for us. John 15, verse 16, Gospel of John. You did not choose me. Y'all listen to Jesus, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. When you're asking in the name of Jesus, simply means that you're asking God the Father to give you something that Jesus would ask for. That's where we mess up. Well, you know, I've heard people say, you know what, it can't be true because I believe that Jesus is Son of God, so therefore I asked for this and I asked for that and I didn't get it. And yet the Bible says, I know what the Bible says, it says, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name. Do we not represent Christ? And if I'm representing Christ, then do not I have to represent the heart of Christ? Do we not have to represent the goodness of what Christ would ask for and not foolishness that we ask for that we might use it on ourselves? And the Holy Spirit has a way of separating that. And you imagine over the years how many times the Holy Spirit, who takes our prayers and our prayers are submitted after the Holy Spirit reads our heart and actually speaks on our behalf. He's had to clean a lot of prayers up, hasn't he? Lord, this is what he really meant, Father. So think of it. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is, this is what you will ask for in the name of Jesus, because this is who Jesus is. We got it? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You're not going to get out there anywhere and find you a book or find one of the commandments or the Levitical laws, and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to memorize these laws and I'm going to keep them. The law of Christ first starts out. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the ultimate. Anything done that you do in true love to glorify God, I guarantee you will make it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, we have trouble starting at the first one. Well, you know, I don't mind. I love some people. I ain't saying I'm going to love the others, but I love some people. When I see the Lord said, I love them all. But Jesus also called them snake when they didn't act right too, didn't he? Okay, John 15:2. That doesn't mean don't you all go out there calling them snakes unless they deserve it now. Okay, John 15:2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You remember being taken down a notch or two? Yeah. Well, that's what he's doing. He said, I'm going to clip your wings. You know, you're flying too high here, so I'm going to prune you a little bit. The Lord truly does read our heart, though. He knows where we're coming from the heart. Then sometimes Jesus uses the scissors of Scripture. Jesus said in verse 3, John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Salvation is of the word of God, the word of that Jesus gives. Jesus says, I am the word. So therefore he's saying that you're clean because of me. I have made you clean. There again, don't forget the judgment seat of Christ is where Jesus, the scripture says, takes all the stuff, looks at it, tries it by the fire of his spirit, and all the garbage that doesn't produce love or was done outside love, was just done to show and all of that. He said, I'm going to burn it, polish you up, and you get to meet the Father. So Jesus starts pruning us down here. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. I got to thinking this morning and tonight on the Christian churches in Egypt. 32 so far have been totally burned. Christians are being slaughtered in the streets. And no one's standing up to confront. Every religion in the world would be at arms if what is going on there were done to the Muslim community or the Hindus or any other religion, but not to the Christian. I look at that and I'm so sad. What was it? This last week, was the 10-year-old girl was shot, killed because she was a Christian. Shot and killed because she's a Christian. So then they've decided, well, let's just kill all the Christians off. It's interesting that the dictator that was in, who was Mubarak, he protected the Christians. And then the religious people, if that's what you call them, come in and they kill the Christians. Muslim brother, yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to hear more of them from outside our door, I'm afraid. Your life will be most significant and most fruitful and most productive. Number 3, you remain in Christ continuously. To remain in Christ continuously, abide, remember, remain stable or fixed. There is only one command given in this entire passage of Scripture to us, and it is found in verse 4, the only command. See it? Abide in me, John 15:4. Of all the Scripture, that's the only command. Abide in me. You can't force a branch to bear fruit. You can't command a branch to bear fruit. That is why nowhere do you find Jesus telling us to go out and bear fruit. Here is what he does say to do. Abide in me. Abide in the vine, verse 4. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Verse 5, abide in me. Verse 7, abide in my love. Verse 9, abide in my love. Verse 10, it's all in the abiding. Meaning stay stable and fixed in that Jesus is Lord, folks. And we must make certain that we do not allow someone to put words in our mouth where we will dare stand up and say, no, all of these others are fine. That's just another way to heaven. That is not abiding love in Christ. Remember your life. Here's the end of it. Will be most significant and most fruitful and most productive when, number one, you relate to Christ inwardly. Two, you produce Christ outwardly. And three, you remain in Christ continuously. Here's the picture. You can't make fruit. You can't manufacture fruit. You can't manipulate fruit. You can only bear fruit. And the way you bear fruit is by simply staying connected to the vine. You can't do it yourself, folks. Don't do that. I'm going to go show God what a good Christian I am, and I'm going to make a great apple pie without an apple that he grew. That ain't going to work. Because we know, especially in this church and in this state, what good apple pie really tastes like and the real thing. Got it? Being real is not something you fake. On the outside, it is something that flows from the inside, right? You can't fake fruit, and mirrors don't lie. If you want to know whether or not you're real and you are genuine, simply look in the mirror and ask yourself, what fruit are you bearing? Here's the answer you want to look for. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the only real fruit that there really is. Didn't even mention apples there at all, did they?